All right, if you came with your Bible, we'll do Bible study for like 40 minutes. I hope you don't mind. All right, if you have your Bible, let's turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, are you there? Isaiah 60, beginning from verse 1, not 16. I think 16 is different from 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come into thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come to thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. And they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedah shall be gathered together unto thee, and the rams of Nebaoth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Hallelujah. You know, in the mathematics class, we did ordinary mathematics, like the quadratic equation. We did ordinary mathematics like geometry. And then we now did applied mathematics, where you are applying the concepts to solve natural problems. This scripture is applied. It is not a straight reading. It doesn't make so much meaning within the context of face value. We'll need to explore it in its advanced outlook in order for us to benefit from what it is pregnant with. Is on the strength of that, my effort this night is to interpret this scripture. But in order for us to do that, we will need to pick up a few scriptures that will provide the coordinates of comprehension. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's begin with Psalms 107, verse 20. Hallelujah. Bro, if you need the video coverage, we'll send it to you. You don't need to make yourself a cameraman. What you need now is to listen to me. I have something from the Lord. I did not sleep yesterday night because of you. Yes. 4 a.m. before the word of the Lord came to me. That's when I went to sleep. It means I have something for you. So, and I will not even allow you to distract yourself from receiving that which I have for you. In the book of Psalms 107, verse 20, the Bible says he sent his word. You must have heard of the judgments of God. When you study your Bible, you hear something like the judgments of God. When you study your Bible, you hear some things like the testimony of God. When you study your Bible, you hear some things like the commandments of God. Are they the same thing? You got it right, but you cannot explain why they are not the same. The judgments of God, the testimony of God, and the commandments of God. When it is a testimony, are you there? The testimony of God. When you hear that, or you hear the testimony, it is God Himself speaking about Himself by Himself. You see, nobody, no human being that is given delegated authority has the capacity to set forth a testimony. Prophets can be anointed and they can be given inspiration and prophetic words to speak. Right? Those are prophecies. And prophets can reveal the commandments of God. See, because they are motivated by the anointing that is operational upon them, they can hack into the templates of the Spirit and bring perspective. But when it comes to testimony, it is only God that has the ability for testimony. If someone wants to speak about you, maybe I'm your friend and I want to speak about you, there are one or two things I can say about you that is accurate, but it cannot be as accurate as you speaking about yourself by yourself. For instance, the Bible says, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners, that's Hebrews chapter 1, spake in times past by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. See, the prophetic ministry of the last days moves from God anointing people to speak His mind. Are you there? Those are prophetic utterances, and that is the content of the Old Testament. But in the last days, there is a shift in testimony. God now speaks by His Son. You see, it means that there was something that the prophets could not say, even though they were under the anointing of God, that God Himself has to come and say. It means in the last days, God wants to speak by His own testimony. That is superior to what prophets can declare when they are under the anointing. You are not with me. Oh, you know what? I found out since I came to America. Not everybody is interested. So what I will do is this. When I find out that you are not interested, I will reduce what I'm giving you so that you will labor in the wilderness. You know, some of you need to labor for a while before you get some spiritual things. Stay with me. Can you go back to... Don't move until I say you should move. Go back to Psalms 107. Because what I want to introduce you to here is what we call the proceeding word of God. The proceeding word of God is different from the commandments of God. It's different from the testimony of God. It's different from the judgments of God. If you go to the New Testament, you will hear a scripture that says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. Are you there? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Stop there. At least you know that scripture. In that scripture, there is a judgment there. And the judgment that is in that scripture is that the flesh profits nothing. It means that God has judged the flesh, weighed the flesh in the balances, and has given you a perspective of divine intelligence about the flesh. That what is the use of the flesh? It profits what? Nothing. Meanwhile, even though the Bible has already judged the flesh, weighed it in the balances, giving you an accurate perspective about the worth of the flesh, most believers still live their lives in the flesh. You are not with me. It means that the average believer is not willing to subscribe to God's judgments. He wants to have his own personal experience, even though God has given a perspective about the matter. It's just like Solomon. in the book of Ecclesiastes. Alright? Solomon presents himself as an object of experiment. There were a few things he wanted to explore in order to give a personal testimony about them. So he wants to explore women because he needs to write about women. Then he labels. You are not following. Goes to Europe, has a European girlfriend, moves from there to England, moves from there to South Africa, moves to Kilimanjaro, and then he now comes to write Ecclesiastes chapter 7. You will go old if you want to use your life to experiment all the principles. You will become old and you will not have finished. That's why we need to rely on the judgments. The things have been judged. Oh my God, you're not with me. Okay, let me leave you. You are not with me, so I'll just leave you. I'll just leave you. Don't. You will not get another result different from what God, through his judgments, have unveiled. So if you are wise, you will latch onto the judgments of God on every matter as your own accurate position. And then you will discover that your life will move in a progression of wisdom that no school, including Harvard, can equip you for. Are you there? The reason why I went through all this trouble is to introduce this scripture. Because this scripture rests on a different plane. This scripture reveals another aspect of the Word of God. Over and above the testimony, the commandment side, over and above the judgments. Are you there? This is what is called the proceeding Word of God. The Bible says he sent his word. In order for us to understand the concept of the proceeding Word of God, it is needful for us to understand that the first time words were used in the Bible, it was not for communication, it was for creation. Words were a conduit through which the authority of God was dispensed. Right? So creation, as we know it, is a function of God's authority, because he exercised his authority in order to cause the things that we call creation to fructify. God is not a chancellor. God is not a president. God is a king. And a king does not rule by brute strength. A king rules by decrees. And that makes the speakings of God different from mortal speakings, because he speaks from the standpoint of authority. For instance, the Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie. That's a strange insight about men. may the Lord help us. It's a strange insight. But I don't want to dwell there tonight. But he says, I'm not a man that I should lie. Neither am I the son of man that I should repent. That scripture is, because I know your interpretation of that scripture is that God is a modest personality, a holy personality. That even though God can lie, because of his modesty, his integrity, and his holiness, he chooses not to lie. That's your religious interpretation, and that's how you what you think that scripture is saying. But that is not what the scripture is saying. The scripture is saying that God cannot lie. It's not saying that God has the ability to lie, but decides to be modest and holy. And he says that in contrast with the ability of man. He says men, they lie. But I cannot lie. I'm not a man that I should lie. I cannot lie. What's the meaning of that? In Nigeria, we have a joke. You can joke with somebody and say, your head is big. And that's a joke. The reason why God will not joke like that is because if God says your head is big and he cannot lie, it means that God resides in an energy level wherewith, if he speaks, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, his words become true because they are a conduit that carry his authority, so he cannot lie. So if God should crack a joke and say, your head is big, what will happen to you? Okay, you know what will happen. Your head will become big. So Jesus, in the days of his flesh, he was very approachable. Children could come to him, could embrace him, could play with him. Because in Jesus, God was fully defined. God remained a mystery until Jesus came and brought about the clearest definition of God in his human living. All right? So, children could walk up to Jesus. They could engage with Jesus. They could play with Jesus. That was how approachable he was. And in all the days of his flesh, he never cracked a joke. Even though he was friendly. He never laughed one day and cracked a joke. Because anything he says will become true. Because he cannot lie. If you have that kind of power, you will need to go for training for about 30 years to be able to use your vocal power. Because anything you say will be made true. I remember my daughter, before I came here, the request that she made in 1 week. If we are to buy all the things she has asked me to buy, we'll need to move out of our current house. So God doesn't use words the way we do. Because his words carry his authority. His words carry his dominion, his capacity. His words are creative. Is that clear? So this is an aspect of the word of God that is different from the other aspect that I mentioned. He sent his word. This is what we call the proceeding word of God. The proceeding word of God has the potential to effect a change. So if we are talking about, are you there? There's sickness somewhere and he's operating as a law enforcement agent and he wants to change that sickness. What he sends to change that sickness is the word of authority. This is the description of rulership. By means of the scepter of authority. He sent what? His word. And healed them. He sent his word. And delivered them. So if you know what I'm talking about, your healing is as simple as securing a word from the mouth of God. That's how simple it is. Your deliverance is as simple as what? Securing a word from the mouth of God. Your skill in moving the hand of God is in your ability to make God speak. And that's why, even after the fall of man in the book of Genesis chapter 3, you will notice that Satan did not rejoice. And the reason why he did not celebrate victory was because he knew that God could speak again. And if God speaks again, the possibilities become different. New windows of actualization become available. The shape of the spirit realm changes to accommodate the new things he has said. So it means that if God can still speak, everything can still change. Because what we call reality today is a product of his previous speakings. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Someone came to me the other day and said, you know what? I'm so and so years and I'm not yet in a relationship. And you have to do something about it. I said, okay, all right. Okay, it's all right. The only problem with this arrangement is that destiny does not take time. You are keeping watch of time. That's not the measurement of destiny. Destiny takes encounter with God. So the lady came to me to tell me about her biological time clock, and she did not come with any encounter. Okay, the last time I heard God, this is what he said. She was encounterless. All she came with was with a clock. You are not ready for life if all you have is a clock on your hands and you don't have any word from God. If you secure the word from God, then the way to proceed would have been different. But you have no word. It means God has not made any commitment. So your expectations are in futility. You are like someone expecting pregnancy when there's no uterus. So the average person doesn't know how to deal with God. He just comes to church. And he is excited at the music. The way I saw you people excited at the music. It was not God you were excited at. It was the music you were excited at. Because if we had shut down the music, you would not be excited. Sorry, I'm not a pastor. Just in case you are expecting maybe one compassionate kind of... No. I'm not a pastor. Don't expect that. You will not see it. We run a cantonment where we train people from being carnal people to becoming spiritual people. That's my own calling. If you are expecting someone to come and cry on your neck, it's when Jesus comes back that will happen. Wake up! We've been crying all these years and nothing has happened. I'm trying to tell you how God works. Are you still with me? I'm seeing a lady here, she's confused. What kind of preacher is this? What kind of... Before this service ends, the question you are asking will be answered. Are you there? The time has come for us to learn the ways of God. The half measures, the arrangements that we have to entertain people in the name of church that has deceived them, that has confused them, that has maligned their destiny. Those half measures can no longer work in under practical circumstances. It is like it's elusive. So let's labor to find God and his ways. So if I'm teaching you about God, the first thing you need to know about him is that he doesn't have any commitment with you if he has not spoken. The way God works is that he speaks. And if God has not spoken yet, he's not working. So that thing you felt when the music was moving, you felt something that made you, that feeling is a good feeling. Enjoy it if it's available. But that is not necessarily God, because God is not a feeling. The reason for the music was to help you yield. But if you don't yield enough to get to the place where you receive the proceeding word of God, you don't have business with God yet. Time will not change anything if you have not yet received a word from God. A music minister came to sing for us. He came with a new song. And he came with his guitar. And everybody was excited. Then he said, the difference between... Okay, let's do it. It's reggae. I'm on your key. The difference within you and I is time. The difference between you and I is time. This is ministration. The difference between you and I is time. The difference between you and I. Time. The difference between you and I is time.
The difference between you and I is time.
You are nothing. You are nothing.
The difference between you and I is time. The difference between you and I is
time. One more time now.
The difference between you and I is time. The difference between you and I.
The way you are excited now, that's how we were excited. I just want to show you that excitement is different from encounter. The fact that you are feeling good doesn't mean you've touched God. The church has been used to making people feel good. We now went home and began to analyze that song and saw that that song, it's not really a kingdom song, because there is nothing that God does which is time based. It doesn't take eternity for God to do what is eternal. Think about it. Time is never in God's equation. And that's the reason for the concept of miracles. In miracles, the gestation period for happenings is removed, and God makes it happen without the time element. So when you are coming to sing a song on time, it means that you are denying the God of miracles. He sent his word. And his word healed. He did not move from his throne. All he did was to speak. Then his word went as a messenger, the law enforcement agent, and healed them. Because the word has in itself the ability to bring itself to pass. It doesn't need support. It doesn't need the seasons to cooperate. It doesn't need the weather to cooperate. It produces without your help. It produces without your support. Such is the proceeding word of God. This word can heal. This word can deliver. Is that clear? Now, having known this, let's do 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 21. I hope you know the story of 1 Samuel chapter 3. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, God was coming to secure the attention of a young prophet. This young prophet, in 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 7, the condition of this young prophet was stated. Give me 7. I'd like you to see the condition of this young prophet. Now, this is a commentary on the prophet. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. So you see, he was in a development. He was destined to be able to recognize the word of the Lord. He was destined to be able to understand the word of the Lord. But at this time, he did not yet know the Lord. At this time, the word of the Lord was not yet revealed to him. So even though God was speaking and calling him, he could not recognize it. Are you there? And his situation was so pathetic that God went a step further to help him. Because God was using the voice of Eli to call him. That was the only voice he knew. So God stepped down and changed his voice and disguised and spoke like Eli to this young man, hoping that he will catch his attention. But unfortunately, because it was not revealed to him what the voice of the Lord was, he did not yet know who the Lord was, he went to who? Eli. And if you have checked your Bible, it is difficult for God to call somebody consistently 4 times. It is difficult. He called once, called twice. His inability protected him from discerning
what was happening. Then he now went for education. After the third call, if he comes again, I'm not sure he will come again. Third time is, but if he does come again, say these words. So he did not need training to hear God's voice, but he needed training to know how to respond to God's voice. We'll talk about that subsequently. A prophet doesn't need training to hear God's voice, but he will need training to know how to respond to the voice of God. Verse 25 that I asked you to open, 21. After all of the commotion that took place previously, and God was able to secure his attention, this was the scripture that captured Samuel's development in the prophetic ministry. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. So it means the first appearance, the guy could not recognize God. It was a very troublesome time, hectic season. And God was merciful again. He came again. And then how did he reveal himself to Shiloh, to Samuel in Shiloh? By the Dabar of God. That is the proceeding word of God. Now, so this is what it means. Okay, you know the Bible says he sent his word and he healed them, and he delivered them from all their destructions. So he wants to train the next prophet, the prophet of the next generation. So what he did was, he would come and speak and say, there will be no snow in Boston this year. That's the proceeding word of God. Something that Samuel considers to be impossible. Are you there? Oh, you are not with me. Okay, let me. You already know it. Hallelujah. You know it, the way I'm seeing you. He will mention an impossible thing. I think, no snow this year. Then Samuel will say, snow. Have you checked the record of snowing in Boston? That the highest stockpile of snow in 2025 was recorded in some of the cities in Boston. Have you checked the record? Then God will keep quiet. Then when the snow season comes, there will be no snow. Then the guy goes back and says, was that how you casually stop snow? Just by speaking? Okay. So if that happens, then the next time God now comes and say, your king, he has been measured in the balances and his reign has ended. So he knows what the word of the Lord is now. He knows that even though it was a whisper in which God spoke, God is not capable of lying, neither is he capable of repenting. That the reason that God doesn't speak for fun, if he has as much as spoken, he will not withdraw it. So gradually, Samuel began to understand God, how by his spoken word, by his proceeding word. So when God wants to begin to teach a prophet, he begins to introduce him to the potency of his spoken word, until the prophet comes to that point where he knows of a truth, that God is not a man that he should what? Lie. At this point, he can no longer doubt God's spoken words, because he has seen the consistency in performance, the consistency in actualization. So if God speaks to him, he knows it is as good as done, that the only thing is the time for manifestation. Are you there? Should I say something to you? The same way God trained this prophet, and the training was in the context of the proceeding word of God, that's how God wants to train you. Are you there in the book of Matthew? Turn with me. The first temptation that Satan brought to Jesus in the wilderness of temptation, after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights in Matthew chapter 4. Are you there in Matthew 4 verse 3? I don't have time to talk about this temptation. There's so many matters here. But let me not trouble you with too much talk. You will notice that after Jesus was baptized in the Holy Ghost, he was baptized in the Holy Ghost and in water at the same time. Because the moment he was coming out of the water, the Spirit of God came and descended upon him as a dove. Are you there? The water with which he was baptized was going to dry up. But the Holy Ghost with which he was baptized was not going to dry up. So whereas the influence of the water dried up, but the influence of the Holy Ghost that was upon him continued, and he was led by that same Holy Ghost to go into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You are not with me? This is the home of education in America. And imagine that someone finishes from Harvard and he comes out with first class. It is either he's retained in the university as a lecturer. In fact, he gets an automatic employment. So Jesus, the Father came to accredit him. And the Father's testimony about Jesus was that this one is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That sounds like an A. Huh? So I'm expecting employment to result because he made an A, first class. I'm expecting him to be given an executive position. Instead of giving him an executive position, God is driving him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Is that how you deal with an A student? You are not with me. He said, go to the wilderness. Now that you are my product, I have confidence in you. I've advertised you because I know what I've done inside of you. Now you can go to the wilderness. Your next point of call is the wilderness. So that is what is happening. Two things I will need to bring to your notice in this wilderness. Jesus arrived at the stage of temptation before the tempter came. Think about it. It was not Satan that came to look for Jesus to tempt him. It was Jesus going to look for Satan to tempt him. That's what happened. If you are going to look for Satan, at least you need to know Satan's address. Or you are not following me. So Jesus, under the instruction of the Holy Spirit, proceeds into the wilderness. Arrived there, Satan was not yet there. But his purpose for coming is so that he can be tempted. He now decides to go on prayer and fasting. That was not part of the arrangement. They didn't say go and fast. They say go and be tempted. Are you following? When he saw the intensity of the moments that are ahead, he himself decided to make himself spiritually fit by fasting and praying. Are you there? And it will interest you to know that it was the fasting and prayer that attracted Satan. So the address of Satan is spiritual commitment. Just begin to make commitment, begin to fast, begin to pray, become serious about God. He will show up. He likes you the way you are now. Every day we can talk fried chicken. He knows you, my mouth, you will not be able to challenge him. He likes you like this. But make up your mind and say, okay, I want to take a fast. I want to fast for 12 days. Yes. And I'll pray for 3 hours every day. So I will do one in the morning before I go to work. I will do one on the road while I'm driving back. I'll be speaking in tongues. And then when I get back, the first thing I will do is to do 1 hour tongues before I make light food to eat. And I'll remain this spiritually sensitive for the next 12 days. Your boss in the office will be possessed by a demon on the 8th day. You are not fully. It was the Holy Ghost that sent Jesus into the wilderness. The purpose was that he has to be tempted. Because the first Adam, are you there? The first Adam experienced temptation. And it was through that temptation that Adam sold out the fortunes of humankind. The second Adam had to meet with Satan again, not in the public place, not in Walmart, not in Costco, but in the wilderness. Because he needed to buy back what Adam sold out. So he could not escape temptation. Now that God has accredited him and said, "You are my son." This is the idea that we conceived when we had the vision of making man. You are the first man after the original pattern. So your next point of call is that you need to stand before Satan. He attracted Satan by spiritual devotion and spiritual sacrifice. Is there anybody here sitting this way? You have been able to go without food for 7 days. Let me see your hand. Don't lie, just please. You can drink water, but no food for 7 days. Stand up. You've done 7 days before? Have you done as much as 14 days before? Sit down. Let's come here. Anyone? 7 days? Stand up. No food, just water. What happened to you during the 7 days? Did you hear the voice of God? No. The first one you do, you'll not hear anything. You see, the Lord is coming. The reason why you don't know that it's coming is because your spirit has not been, the camera of your spirit has not been tuned to discerning. All of us have the capacity, if you are born again. Sorry, don't. Oh, you are in a hurry. Okay, you can sit down. You are in a hurry. Sit down. Sit down. Did you hear him for the 7 days? You had dreams. Okay, we'll come to that. So that's the first line of his language, dreams. That's the first line. It will take you 2 years of consistent practicing what you did for you to be able to interpret those dreams. Because many of you receive dreams and you think God likes selfies. So he sends you selfies, then you see yourself casting out devil. Then he said, "Hallelujah." You are like Samuel. You don't know the Lord yet. So the word of the Lord is not yet revealed to you. Yes, sister. What was your experience? Did you encounter Satan more or you encountered God more? Satan more. Can you see that? She was not praying unto Satan. She was just trying to be spiritually fit. And then Satan shows up. Because Satan knows that if she breaks beyond the barrier and understands the advantage that she has in the spirit realm, she will never stop that exercise all her life. When you are about to hit the secret of life, Satan will come and stir up the flesh. That's when you will know that you have yogurt. What, the Greek yogurt? In the fridge. You will just say, "Greek yogurt, Greek yogurt, Greek." And that's the only thing you will be hearing for like 1 hour, "Greek yogurt." So he's trying to distract you. He He knows that you are about to discover the secret of life. Thank you. Thank you. So I got what? What of you? Sit down. So you notice you could pick things. That means you have a prophetic deposit. If not, the first one you do, second one you do, the third one you do, will not be so profitable. And if indeed you do have that deposit, you have a prescription of life that is not normal, that you should live all the days of your life. And if you are not ready to do it, you will not maximize it. I need to tell you the truth from the beginning. You that you were quick to sit down.
I'm first to stand up now.
Okay. If you cannot stay without food, it means you have no control over your sex life. Yes. Yes, if you can't shut the appetite of food, you can't control the appetite of sex. I know you. Do you understand? Oh, you don't understand. Okay, let me leave you. Let me leave you. You don't. Continue like that. You will discover when you are old, you will still be battling with old sins. I run a cantonment, not a church. I don't speak like a pastor. I speak like a trainer. My destiny is to train. I know your weaknesses. You are 9 gates to close. And if you have not closed as much as 7, you cannot fulfill destiny. It's a game of discipline. Even the sicknesses that come through the things we eat, mere discipline can close the door to that sickness. You want to kill yourself with drugs. Meanwhile, what the sickness is recommending is just discipline. But you can die instead of being disciplined. And Satan wants to take advantage of your indiscipline to ensure that you are a slave under his hand forever. And Jesus, led by the Holy Ghost, decided to go into the wilderness. When will you go into the wilderness? No man is trained in a city. No man becomes great in McDonald's. Have you heard that somebody prophesied in McDonald's? Yes, sister, what happened to you? When you... Yeah, brother, you can sit down. Thank you. You don't... Brother, I want to assume that you have a prophetic gift. I want to assume with your testimony. If your testimony is true, then you have a prophetic gift. That is a sentence to a life of spirituality in a way that you cannot live like any other man. If you don't accept that level of discipline and devotion and consecration, you can never fulfill that destiny. You can be a false prophet, but you can never be. Yes. I hope you know. Mostly in Africa, what we have, 64% of the people claiming to be prophets are false. Not because they don't have a calling to be prophets, but. Stay with me. Are you with me? Are you in doubt that Israel was called? Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6 is the call of Israel. God wanted to make them a nation of priests. Is that true? Israel refused to consecrate herself, so she could not fulfill that destiny. So God now made it a tribal calling and gave Levi the responsibility of assuming the place of that national calling to implement it on a tribal level. Are you there? Levi refused to consecrate herself. It was only the house of Aaron that consecrated themselves. So priesthood was now given to the house of Aaron alone. So it's not the one that is called that becomes. So many people are called in church that will never become, because they are not willing to go to the wilderness. Where you stand, do you know what it means to be tempted of the devil? You don't know that. Mess this Benz. How many of you know Benz? Before an engine makes it to a Benz car, it must ride 1,000 hours on the bench. If it doesn't make 1,000 hours, it's not mess this Benz. It will be scrapped. That's company test. That's quality assurance test. Are you there? If we are saying that Jesus will be tempted of the devil, that is an outsourced temptation. He's not being tempted by the elements of the kingdom of God. He's exposed to something that is not regulated by the kingdom of God. Not a human, a spirit. Think of it. Every loose end will be exploited. Oh, the fact that you cannot fast will become your undoing that day. That you must eat beans become your undoing. Are you there? The fact that you cannot say no to sleep, to stand in the place of prayer, that will become your undoing that day when the Spirit comes to test you. He will test you along all your appetites. He will test you in sex, test you in sleep, test you in thirst, test you in hunger. Test your eyes with pornography. Most people are hooked on it. No discipline for the eyes. He will test all your nine centers. After he has tested the appetites, then he will begin to test your lusts, your secret lusts, secret desires, your fantasies. He will test your greed, test your commitment to the US dollar. It's a spirit that is testing you, not just a human being. You are not with me. You know why I asked her to come? I wanted her to experience something. Who can explain what is happening? If you don't have eyes, you can't explain it. You have never been to the wilderness. You've been pursuing US dollars since you came from Ghana. Since been pursuing it for 12 years now. And you believe that's why God sent you here.
I could be la mensali. Maria filabosque se sona kuntela.
Are you with me? He was not told to pray and fast. He figured that the situation in which he was required him to be sensitive. So he starved his flesh so that he can stuff his spirit. Because if his flesh is starving, it will be difficult for Satan to tempt him through his flesh. Are you there? If his spirit is stuffed, he will be able to respond to Satan. So Satan, the starving of the flesh is an insulation technique. It's an insulation technique. So that Satan cannot find a loophole in his flesh. So that he can stop his spirit. Because in fasting, you insulate yourself from being influenced by the environment. And in prayer, you energize yourself so that you can change the environment. Are you there? When Satan showed up, Satan said, I heard people saying something like, Son of God, Son of God. Meanwhile, that was the designation he was given when the Father came to testify about him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well. Are you there? Satan now said, I'm hearing that title. People are mentioning that title. Where I come from, we don't recognize it. I'm the king of the underworld. And we don't recognize that there is any title called Son of God. But if you are, as you claim to be, command these stones and what? Make them bread. Are you seeing the treachery in that temptation? Now, see, Jesus never operated by himself. It is what the Father does that he does. Right? So that is his security. It means that he's under authority. He's only expressing the Father's will. But what Satan was tempting him to do was that Satan was tempting him to act apart from his Father. The Father was not commanding stones into bread. But Satan was saying that because you are hungry, there is a legitimate reason for you to use the power and the authority that has been given to you in order to operate in the capacity of the Son of God. So if it is true that you are the Son of God, there must be an allocation of authority given to you to operate at that level. Can you start the process of being the Son of God by commanding? Are you saying? And then Satan began to educate him. Satan said to him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that what? That proceeds. He begins to lecture Satan about the proceeding word of God. That the way man was supposed to be manipulated, the way man was supposed to be controlled, was by the proceeding word of God. It means that if we go back to your house, go back to your library, and we get your diaries where you write things down. And there are some of those diaries where you wrote that God said, I will do this. God said, I will do that. God said, this is my destiny. God said, this is my ordination. If you are not living what you wrote, it means that you are existing. You have not started living. Because the way God designed that man should live, are you there? Is that man shall not live by bread alone. His living is not in nourishing his body alone. There is another part of him which happens to be spirit being. And living from that standpoint is fulfilling the things that pertain to the proceeding word of God. I can show you my diary, 2005, and what I wrote in it. What God said to me. I can show you other diaries where they were fulfilled. I can show you the 10 things God told me about the ministry that we started. Are you there? As at 3 years ago, those 10 things were fulfilled. I ticked all of them. I went back to him again. He gave me a fresh mandate. Now that you have fulfilled this, you start with this. So man is supposed to operate by the proceeding word of God. So the question I have for you is, what is the blueprint that you downloaded that you are living now as the proceeding word of God that has informed your choices, informed your actions, informed your direction? You still remember when I was teaching? Okay, Philip is not here. I was teaching in Makodi, and I told them, okay, at least I've not been to America yet. How many of you know? I was telling the congregation, how many of you know I've not been to America? They said, listen to me. God has said, I'm going to be in America. And you can check to see if it will happen. Because I received the proceeding word. That was 3 years before we went to the embassy. America has 50 states. Where am I going to be? He showed me that in a night vigil 14 years before I came to America. Even the city to stay in, I saw that in night vigil. finished night vigil. You know how you get tired after a night vigil experience, and I just laid down to sleep, and a man came to me in the dream and said, he brought maple leaf and said, you are going to stay in the country that has this leaf. And I woke up from that dream, went to Google, found it was a maple leaf. I saw that it was the leaf on Canada's flag. Are you there? But the problem with Canada's flag is that the leaf in Canada's flag is red. Are you there? And then the flag is red on a white background. But what I saw was white on a red background. So I thought it was Canada. Until I went to the state that I'm staying now. And we're driving into an estate. And it was Maple Grove. White on red background. I knew I cannot stay outside of this city. Yes, as long as I'm in that state, I can't stay outside of that city. It was already determined before I showed up. And as long as I stay there, the demons that keep people there will not find me. Because wisdom got captured where I should be domiciled 14 years before I arrived. When you begin to follow God diligently and you begin to study His word, you will find some scriptures that speak about you. The Bible is so prophetic, it must have anticipated your coming. If you have not seen any scripture that is the description of your essence, then there's a problem. There's a problem. It means that your description of life is to pursue US dollars, pay up your mortgage, send your children to the university. That is like Methuselah. Because even though he lived the longest, he only produced sons and daughters. Did not fulfill any destiny, did not strike any chord. Man, humankind shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds what? Out of the mouth of God. It means that before you set up a family, you must receive a proceeding word. A proceeding word that gives you an idea of what God is empowering you to do in family life. Most of us entered into marriage with love. And love was the driving force. There was no proceeding word. And on honeymoon, you were on the beach. You were running on the beach. It's been 12 years. How far? Are you still running? It's been 18 years. The person you were running with is the one you want to take to court now to divorce. I said, no, this is not the man I married, but you were on it. There was no proceeding word. So you don't know what to protect, you don't know what to fight. The description of the life of the average believer is a function of what society has shown him, not the proceeding word of God. And that's why we have given room for relativism. I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as this one. I am not as terrible as that. So, you know, I'm not doing badly. So you are measuring yourself with fallen men. That's your reference point. That's what happens when you don't have a proceeding word, a guiding light. Are you there? Two scriptures, then we'll go back to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 60, I believe. What you have not seen in Isaiah chapter 60 is that Isaiah chapter 60 captures the move of the word of God, the move of the proceeding word. That's what it captures. Now give me Psalms 36 verse 9. Psalms 36 verse 9. Now listen, it says, for with thee is the fountain of life. and in thy light shall we see light. I need to explain that. First of all, read the first aspect, the part A of the scripture. It reveals that life is a fountain. Think about it. That's a spring. Okay? Have you read the scripture that says, with joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation? It means that your spirit man, vis-a-vis the spirit of God that came to regenerate your spirit, looks like, your spirit man looks like a well, a vessel, a container. And then the spirit of God is now in that well. Are you there? But that well is not just a stagnant well. That well is a spring that springs in the strength of a fountain. Think about it. Whenever that well springs, what it does is that it inspires your mind. That means God, through His Spirit, activates your mind and brings your mind into His thoughts. That is what inspiration is. As powerful as you are, you were able to attend engineering school and you came out an engineer. You were able to attend business school, you came out a business expert. You can run a business profitably. As powerful as you are, there are several dimensions of realities that your mind cannot even touch except the Holy Spirit inspires you. Have you heard that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and it has not entered into the heart of man? There are things that if your mind cannot even stray into it. The only way your mind can touch it is that the Holy Ghost decided by an act of inspiration to discipline your mind into a certain thought that was on the heart of God. The Bible says with thee is the fountain of life. And when this fountain springs, what it does is that it inspires us and gets us to see something that we never contemplated in our mind. It is only when that fountain springs and gives us light that we begin to see from God's perspective. Are you there? You will be completely excluded from thinking the way God wants you to think until this kind of arrangement takes place. There is a spring from the fountain. And when that spring comes, it influences your mind and gives you the ability to think the thoughts of God. And when you enter into the arena of God's thoughts, you will know that what you are conceiving right now are things that you don't have the capacity to conceive if you were not brought into that place of light by the Spirit of God. That is when you really begin to see that you will never know who you are until God desires to inspire you and brings you into His thought about yourself. Then you begin to see from the right perspective. I was born a stammerer. Who can ever say that a stammerer will be a preacher? But I was in heaven. The age of 13. That was when Jesus told me that I'm called to preach the gospel. Even there in heaven, I complained that I was a stammerer in that encounter. Are you still with me? Because humanly speaking, it is not possible for a stammerer to be standing before people. I will weary them with my stammering. And I was bothered about that. But God showed up. And God said, you will be my messenger. And when I was complaining about my inability to speak, He did not answer me. Something happened that I'm not at liberty to speak about. Something happened. When I was brought back to this world, years later, I now went to talk to God about my stammering. Took a fast. Said, I've accepted to preach now. Can we deal with the stammering now? He dropped a scripture on my heart. He said, as for thee, this is the covenant I have with you. I have put my words in your mouth. That's all. So I woke up from the experience. Then it occurred to me through the spirit of wisdom that if God was able to smuggle his words into my mouth, it is his business to make me speak it. Oh. So all I need to do is to pray and fast and then get a word to preach. And the moment I stand on the pulpit, it's no longer my responsibility to make myself talk. That's how I began to talk to this day. A proceeding word of God was what healed my tongue. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
I know you have your excuse. You say, yeah, I'm not good enough. This is what I tried to do and I failed. The reason why you failed was because it was not God that spoke. If you are, man was designed to live by the proceeding word. That's what I'm saying. Is that clear? So you can now understand the scripture that says that the entrance of his word, not just the Bible, no, his word, his spoken word, his proceeding word, if he enters, the way you will know it has entered, the diagnosis of the entry of the word of God is that he gives light. It means that the things that your mind could not contemplate, your mind comes into the prosperity of those things. Are you there? He gives understanding to the simple. The Bible, speaking in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, says the eyes of your understanding be flooded with light, that ye may know. There are three things you cannot know except the eyes of your understanding are flooded with light, according to that scripture. That's what happens when the word of God, the spoken word, the proceeding word enters. It floods your mind with light. Then you begin to see, because the Bible says with this, the fountain of life, and in thy light we shall see light. That's when you begin to see very well. The way you saw yourself in the mirror, like a beautiful young lady, that I'm a miracle going somewhere to happen. Calm down, calm down, calm down. You are not seeing with the true light. The resources of your beauty are not enough to sponsor your destiny. There's something else that you need to see, and you cannot see it except God speaks. It is the proceeding word of God that will bring your mind into that space where it is guided to contemplate the thoughts of God. It's in that reaction that you can see yourself the way you really are. And I assure you, you are stronger than what you saw in the mirror. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
So having known this, whenever the proceeding word of God enters into your heart, it sheds light. It carries your mind on a journey of inspiration and then causes you to see things about yourself that is captured in the will of God that you have no human way of seeing. Call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. How would I have been able to know that I was called to be a preacher? A stammering man, terrible stammering. My stammering was a veil that was determined to keep me from my destiny except I enter into the realm of light. It was my entry into light that made me see, because the fountain within me sprang up. It is that light that the Bible speaks about in the book of Isaiah chapter 60. The light that comes because the proceeding word of God has gone forth. And then the inspiration, the power that travels with that word provokes you to think at a certain level which was inspired by that very word. That's what the Bible calls light. Are you there? Give me Isaiah 60. He says, arise. He said, don't make an attempt to make any move. No, don't. Before the proceeding word, stay hidden, stay on your seat. The only time you are permitted to arise is when your light comes. Notice he didn't say our light. The light of the church. Light of the congregation. You will notice that the scope of this light is very personalized. One thing you need to understand about the administration that is in God is that it is so sufficient that it has the capacity to manage everybody as an individual entity. That's huge. The devil doesn't have that elaborate administration. So if he wants to manage people, he will say, okay, all the fornicators, and he manages them in groups. Adulterers. The psychology of an adulterer is the same. So he manages all of them in a group. You know? I follow. Deceivers. He groups them. Groups deceivers in Boston. Groups deceivers in New York. Then is updating their software, giving them new technologies, new insights in deception. Do you understand? But the devil cannot manage you as an individual. He doesn't have the administration to do so. But God has the administration to manage you as an individual entity. And that's why the Bible says your light is not our light. When my own light came, my light revealed that I was supposed to be a preacher. I was preparing to be a professor before the age of 30. I was good in my field and I had the cerebral power to fulfill my ambition. But you see, your cross is that point where your ambition collides with the will of God for your life. There is a sacrifice that you will need to make in order for you to prioritize God's will over and above your ambition. I wanted to be a professor of natural product chemistry. It's an aspect of organic chemistry. So that if I walk into your woods in Boston, I can bring some roots and bring some leaves and tell you this is a cure of cancer. I wanted to be a herbalist, a scientific herbalist. That can move into the forest and come out with seeds and say, okay, oh my God. I loved it. I had the cerebral power to achieve that before 30. And I was going for it. Until I encountered the Lord one night and he told me that of all the things written about you in heaven, there's no document that says you are a lecturer. May you not spend your effort on what is not written. Oh, Jesus. I wanted to arise into lecturing. He said, don't arise. Because your light has not yet come. If you arise, it will be difficult to arrest you when you become established in that departure. It will be difficult for my net to catch you. It will be emotional for you to recalibrate. Don't arise. Wait for your light. Wait for your light. So instead of him to tell me what he wanted me to do, the thing he told me first was, lecturer is not it. Hey. And those days, there was this lecturer of ours that loved me, because God help you if I ask you a question. Those days. I will read what you are trying to teach us. Then I will test you. Lecturers hated me because of that. I have a gift. The ability to comprehend. If I read something, I will comprehend it. It's a gift. I did not know that God gave me this gift so that I can teach the scripture. I thought it was for chemistry, for mathematics. And I was doing well, and he allowed me until it was going to be an obstruction to his way. Hey, don't arise. Don't arise. Don't arise. Don't arise. Because your light has not yet come. You will hear Jesus telling people the reason why I don't want to go. They said, no, no, no. If greatness is inside of you, his brothers were telling him, if greatness is inside of you, why are you manifesting greatness in hiding? Why not go to Jerusalem and show yourself? Jesus said, my time is not yet come. My light has not yet come. For you guys, your time is always. We will wait for our light before we are made manifest. We never rise until the light comes. We never shine until the light comes. It is the proceeding word of God that will give you insight into that which the Spirit of Christ wants to manifest through your vessel. For me, it was a preacher. A teacher of truth, a teacher of verity, a messenger of the kingdom of God. I waited until I understood that light. So when I now stood to accomplish that light, my standing was not in the flesh. It was supported by a rhema, by a proceeding word of God. And when I stood in it, heaven backed me, because it was not my choice to stand therein. I had to let my own choice go so that I will embrace his own choice. That's the kind of arising that translates to what? To shining. And the secret is that your light has what? Come. My question to you, to the first question is, have you seen your light? That's what the Lord said I should ask you. Have you seen? How long will you wander in the wilderness without seeing the illumination that is yours? That which was designed for you. That which was made to make you shine. You are running from pillar to post, trying to actualize something that has no proceeding word behind it. You are running with a good idea. A good idea is not good enough. You need light. Not just our light, but your light. There is a proceeding word of God for your life as an individual. There's a proceeding word of God for your destiny as an individual. The average believer doesn't press till that point. And that's why God always has few true laborers. Because the rest want to stay in the place of convenience. They want to navigate like other people. They want to operate like regular people. But the man that has received light cannot be regular. There's something distinct about him that God wants to unveil. And when God does that, he has no choice but to arise. And when he begins to rise, he begins to shine. Then the glory of God then has occasion to rise upon him. What God gains from this is his glory. But you see, if you don't receive that light, if you don't arise, he cannot make you shine. There is a shining that comes from him when you are rising according to your light. Are you there? He accompanies that your rising with commensurate shining. He makes you shine in the area of your light. And that your shining is designed to give him glory. So I come from a family of scholars. No public preacher like myself ever rose. There were people that were born again. Not everyone was a career person. So for me to say I wanted to do ministry, it was going to be a strange ground, because in my family, you will not be considered as a serious person. You are supposed to be a doctor, a physician, a consultant, a lawyer with a chamber employing people, a terrorist in the court. So it looked like something that was without any glory, because even the family will reject it. You're about to pioneer something that is not within the context. That was how the destiny of John the Baptist was. They wanted to call him Zechariah after his father. The angel said, no, his name shall be John. In those days, names were recycled. And any name you will give to someone is a name that a family has earned. His name was different from what the family knew. He shall be called John. That is his light. For he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah the prophet. He shall turn the hearts of the sons to the hearts of the fathers, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, as he prepares a way before the Lord his God. So he cannot answer Zechariah. He has a specific light. He's a harbinger of the things that God will be doing that has no likeness in your generation. If you look into your light, you might find that your kind is scarce in our day. So instead of trying to measure up, to fit in, your light might make you stand out. Your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Oh, it's now my teaching started, but I know you are already tired. You know the reason why he wants to invest in your light? He wants your light to come. He wants you to arise so that he can make you shine. The reason is because, verse 2. Give me 2 on the screen. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. It's in keeping with the season of darkness that he now wants you to arise, because your light has come so that he can make you a luminary. It can make you a lamp, because darkness is coming. And the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But in the same time that darkness is seeking to gain ground, he said, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. You see, he doesn't want the light to waste. So he wants the light to be kindled when darkness is taking her best shot, so that the light comes forth with intense brilliance. You will not know the blessing behind a flashlight until there is darkness in the room. You can navigate. He said, darkness is coming. Gross darkness is about to hit the earth. But that is when I will cause you to rise. It means God is going to launch your destiny in a strategic season, so that the kingdom of God can benefit maximally from your shining. Darkness has plans to encompass the earth, but God has plans, and his plans to illuminate the earth is tied to your destiny and your response to your own light. Just in case you come to Boston, I don't know the statistics. What's the statistics? How many evangelical Christians are here in terms of percentage? 3% of the population are evangelical Christians. If that kind of darkness is what has existed in the territory, it means that so many people have refused to identify their light. Because God's strategy to bring light into the realm is tied to your response to your light and your arising. God is responsible for shedding the light. You are responsible for arising, and God is responsible for making you shine. The only thing you bring to the table is to catch what God is throwing at you, and you say, yes, Lord, I am willing. And then you rise with light.
And that is God's strategy to combat the darkness that is in the territory. Just in case there's darkness in your family, witches have plundered the entire realm, and everybody's at the mercy of wizards. It's your fault. Because you refuse to arise. So there's no light to disperse. There's nothing to challenge the darkness in the realm. So everyone is a victim of the darkness. And Satan is so strategic in how he plays his cards, how he plots his men, how he places his influence. He's so strategic. He wants to cover the earth. And not just to cover the earth, he wants to bring gross darkness on the people.
He said, but his glory shall be seen upon thee. Do you know what happens when one candlestick is lit in the midst of gross darkness? You would think everything in the room had died until one candlelight begins to shine. And then you begin to see the eyes of men. Oh, so there are human beings here. You will never know until you arise.
But the point is this, God had ordained that is by the proceeding word of God that he activates men in every generation. Have you found your light? He went on to say, and Gentiles shall come into thy light. Can you, are you there? Are you there? Oh, you are not there. Now, listen. He said, arise. He said, shine. Why? Because your light is come.
Are you following?
Now, it's, please notice any time we arrive at a come. Underline it. Arise, shine, your light is what?
Come.
All the other comes are a consequence of the first come. This is it. Number two come. And Gentiles shall what?
Come.
It means that if you stay in your light, there are unbelievers that will have no choice but to come into that light. It means that the salvation of many people are programmed into the day of your light. If the world never sees that day, those people will die in darkness if God doesn't do something. Gentiles will what?
Come.
Do you know how many people whose salvation are tied to your life, but you never fulfilled the calling of your light? You never rose. So those ones are still in darkness. Are you there? He said, kings, whereas Gentiles will come into your light, kings will not come into your light. Kings will come in that day when your brightness is on the highest temple. That's when kings will come. You need small light to attract. May you not attract only Gentiles all through your life. Because the way you are going is only Gentiles that. Oh. It's only Gentiles that. What of kings? The salvation of kings is in the brightness. The brightness. Brightness of your eyes. You know what it means to be a king? It's a troublesome place to be. Very soon you discover that your education is insufficient. I have been privileged to come sit with the people that run nations. They are more confused than normal people. And they are looking for light through the prophetic gift. If you are learning, that's not where to learn. If you have not heard God, don't speak. The burden of nations rests on men, and they are looking for a way out. These are the troubles. These are the challenges. How do we survive it? That's why the kings do not just need light. They need the brightness. The brightness of your rising. If you have refused to enter into your light, when would that brightness come for kings to find a breath of fresh air?
So kings languish in darkness. You might see kings that are that were nominal Christians before they got into kingship, naturally drifting into darkness because they need a light. And the structures, the infrastructure of the kingdom of darkness is more pedestaled to offer such help. So they begin to make venerations to ancestors. They begin to open the gates of necromancy over the land, because no one is in the brightness of his rising. Enough for kings to see light and say, yes, this one can quench the darkness of the nation. When will you rise? Oh my God. I'll show you the next verse and I'll keep quiet, even though I've not finished. He said, lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They what? You know, I say you should be counting the come. Is that one come? Thy light is come. That is responsible for the other comes. The Gentiles coming into that light. The kings coming. Where? Into that light. He said, you will need to lift your eyes up to see. These ones are coming from afar. And they, oh my God. Let me leave you here. Listen to me. In Nigeria, our ministry was based in one of the poorest states, if not the poorest. A state where the government in those days used to owe salaries for 8 months. Have you heard of that before? You are not. 8 months. Where a congregation doesn't have enough money in their offering to buy fuel to run their generator. Okay, you don't know what generator is. Oh. Generator. Yes. You know what it is? Yes. Sister, she doesn't know. It's a little power plant that runs on gas. So you put some gas in it, you switch it on, then you power the building. That's what a generator is. Can you see that some people don't even know the darkness that we have experienced? They don't know it. It doesn't exist. Churches don't have what it takes to have a generator that can power their building. There are many reasons why churches close down. One of them is that no more fund to continue. As if the day of Pentecost began with money, with US dollars. It was in that same city. And if you have known our ministry, we don't cajole people to give. Try us, you will find out. Don't cajole. We will never manipulate $1 out of anyone. It was in that same city. God, during prayers, he said, I will build a cathedral here. And I will bring the nations of the earth to worship here. Now, you don't understand. The poverty in that location is such that you don't need a dictionary to know the dictionary definition of what poverty is, because everything in the realm is a manifestation of poverty. You don't understand what I'm talking about. Hey, the pastors of a city came together to hold a crusade. So we want to celebrate the presence of Pentecostal Christianity in our city. So they came with a budget. The budget is 11 million. I don't want to mention the currency. It's 11 million. When we we gave the opportunity, there were 5 bishops and how many pioneers in that place? It was a well-studded house. Okay, when we gave the opportunity for giving and they calculated all the money, it was 27,000. Now, so imagine, we are looking for 11 million. How much came from 27,000? So you understand what is, see, the people want to do the crusade, they are passionate, but what they have ability to produce at the time was what? 27,000. It was in that city. God says, I will exalt this city, I will put it on the spiritual map of the world. So you will build a cathedral here for my name, and I will bring people from the nations of the world to come here because of the covenant that I've established with you. The prophetic word is easy to receive. It's the faith to believe God for what he has said that is the problem. I know you too, you hear things. I was still trying to, you know, the poverty is palpable. So I was, even though God has spoken, I was still wrestling with what you are saying. Jesus, I was still in that place of unbelief, whether I'll move into faith for 2 days, I'm moving to doubt for 1 day, I'm moving to faith again. I was still going to and fro, and that's how someone came and said, this is the document of the land that my late husband left. Take it. I said, no, go back first, go and be sure that I did not manipulate you. Then she went somewhere and told some intercessors to begin to pray for me to accept that document. Intercessors. And one of the intercessors told me that, why are you suffering this woman? She has come to us to pray for you to, is that, take the land. So she brought it again. You know why I did that? So that it will be clear that it's God that is at work, not because I'm a good speaker. I watched that building rise from the ground. It's a swampy place, so we had to go deep. So much was spent, the foundation did not come out from the ground. The day we made that foundation, that's when I saw how large the slab was. I stood on it and I told Satan, I said, Satan, where are you? Come. Where were you when this foundation came out of the ground? If you could not stop this foundation, you can't stop this building. And what will happen in this building, you can't stop it. When I made that statement, Satan showed up, came to the site the next day, and the workers were there, but they were not working. I said, are we owing you people? They said, no. Did we treat you badly? They say, no, you are okay. Can someone explain why you are not working? That's. They say, Pastor, there's a problem. The problem is that the land is by the side of a market. And in Africa, there is a spirituality that is done at the foundation of a market. And it depends on the country and the location and the kind of altar and priesthood that operates there. But the place I'm talking about, the rituals are done with a snake, and it is more potent if it's a python. So these workers now saw the python drifted into the land, and they are native, so they know the meaning. They say, pastor, we're ready to walk, but you are the one that said you are a pastor, not us. So this work now, the work of dealing with this snake now, is not our work. this is your work. That's how we now started 7 days of fasting. For me to call the one that called me, to call the one that said we will build a place. Where are you? 7 days. That snake has vanished here today. I'm not saying we killed it. It vanished. The next day I came to, after my 7 days, so for 7 days they did not work. After 7 days, I came to the sites, they were working. I said, pastor, this is how we speak it. We have our own type of English in Nigeria. So they spoke our English and said that your prayer was effective. That's why they started working. And we saw that place rise. I'm telling you, no money in that account. We had 5 million. Forget about the currency. 5 million was there. 5 million was there. By the time we put the roof on it, it was 1.4 billion. Think about it. I'm talking about 1.7 million pounds, if you can relate with that currency. In pounds, those days, it was 1.7 million. It came to that poverty-stricken place. Why? Because Jesus said, he will build a place. Do you know that it's after that building went up that we dedicated it that kings began to call? I know you are anointed. But kings will only come to the brightness of your rising. Kings will come. My voice traveled to nations. I'm talking about a village boy. The only thing I know is God. Then God begins to use that boy. If he can use me, he can use you more. I have seen the glory of God in a little measure. A little measure. We were holding a conference and they were about to swear in a governor. The guests of the governor did not have one room, hotel room in the city for his guests. He said, what is going on here? There's a prophet here. Anytime he holds this meeting, the whole city stands still. It's not our fault. I don't know whether he got offended at that but it doesn't matter. Kings, we want to pray tonight. Because I'm here from the Lord to make you arise. Some of you, light cannot shine if you refuse to arise. In that place, the first international delegates we had came from Cameroon. We had two delegates from Cameroon. In 2009, then we now had Cameroon and Togo. The last one we had was from how many nations? Philip is not here. That's how we're calling the nations. We're calling them. And then I finished. And then some other people say, we are here. That began with light, little light. God said, this is what I want to do through you. Can you be rugged enough to allow God fulfill his proceeding word through your life? If you are still here, can you rise? I want us to pray. Pray for a few minutes. For a few minutes. Sister, stand up. Oh, okay. Arise. Shine. Arise. Shine. Arise. Shine. Arise. Shine. Arise. Shine. Arise. Shine. For your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Take a moment. Take a moment and agree with him. Lord, I wish to arise. I wish to arise. I receive the strength. The strength to stand in destiny. In the name of Jesus, I arise. I arise. La hosiko menatia preskofa nonte ego broska menasiko prea emosama kudi masalete praiko pamona isko preskofa nate igabenso presko peko pamena kutia eka braske kombe manakuske jemena kaita ura makatama. There is something that has been spoken over your life. There's something spoken over your destiny. There's something spoken. The word of the Lord has gone forth. The proclamation has gone forth already. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And let there is a word that has been written about your destiny. It's not our word. It is your word. It is your light. It was made for you. It is specific to your destiny. He is hoping that you will accept it. He is hoping that you will receive it. He is hoping that you will arise to it. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord. Efolaiko, lakosketo prende, amenakude baba satoria, rabesi, rababode katua, amenote kembre, amakuska baba bodea, esupameta, rakamontete, rakamansome. You can stare yourself, you can stare yourself in the Holy Ghost. I arise, I arise, rabesi. Ayeto kope, latos kame natua, lebros kame mosato, makaba baita, emosame. Yes, Lord, I don't want to stand on the sidelines. I don't want to stand on the sidelines. I want to shine in the strength of my light. Amembo mosame, yabobo koteba, yabasenta ea, ebela ora. The glory of God cannot rise until you arise, until you agree with God. O Babo Sabo. Sevilla Compresca, La Brosca Pesaite, Abbe Compre Campo Samato, for Gentiles, they will come into your light. Kings.
will come into the brightness of your rising. There is something that your rising will do. There is an opening that your rising will bring. Amesu, mamamaita, robabos, yatako pepokai, amekoda kosa menadwa, amreska bosa, iladete, yatoson de maika, ababosa, esko ni, he say you have a compass, this mountain for too long. Tell my people to arise, arise, arise. Melite keso babena kavia. Yalo boko to mena kasketo. Rabenaitos abis. La kope mabonatwa. Abrante kope mabonokoda. Raketa kote babolaite. Asima. Asima. Selibobo sakabo nabwa yatos amante ye babo sabe ye kamata babo te kaske ye basu bina kudia ye kasanta babolia ebris kameta apakato bina sule bakaya apresko bima bote kumbalu apresama apaiko preske apasato la bakute. Yes, the world waits for your light. The world waits for the brightness of your eyes. Laisebo, yakabote babo santo, ebrisko masanta baboria, ekamena siko bremena kudabala, asabo, asabana kude, asabante laite, asabanta babola kate, ebrama kasketo, ebramana kude mansali, ekasiko bremena ata, akrekote mansala babode gaize, aito mama mama mama. Yala sika babina. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for when you will agree to arise, to stand upon your feet. Bet seketa montaboa. Petis. Emamote kasketali. Ekasata babole bakabia. Emina subre. Emina shata babola kuda. Abres. Akabahito kumbre mansika. Enanis kumbre. Ameno kopria la babosa wakata la tanta babote kababosa embrabina kade uska belaito oka babosa be ameno satayata ebrisko ema kade etali eka sebate eka mama botagwa apresko babonatwa ame semenaite ame koria brabeta aske apresko sa la kosa betua ame sokelato ame kate babolia ebris ema kagite tete ebrisko basale ebrisko babotela ebrisko mensale ayika ayika sele ayika bola ayika manapus. The glory of the Lord is risen, is risen, is risen, is risen, is risen, is risen. Alerta, Babo Sepenatia, Sibabo de Casque, Pebriske Tomina, Amena Cobregabatua, Pebrosketa, Amakaya Kumba Isco, Recotamina Kude Babolia. Selata, Selata, Selamakata, Ebramankota, Aisabo, Raboko Semakan. Sefile te coma, amenai te comprese, avelo bodua, incapasonte, amendaye, amendas cabe a coma. Yabo sa tonight. Abrescope Manuka, Ayakopera Same, Escope, Abela Iseka, Abela Hikopamenata, Ebra Baba Consetale. Yes, Lord, I arise, I arise. Lama Sele, Escope. Samanta, every Kapa Bote Mansale, Rabocote Mas, Rabocote Mama Manataya, Escobre, Escamenatia, every Mantala Baboria, and Rescofelavi, Amatayato, Eco Mama Mama. Semenako Sepai, your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen, selling all my might. Oh, 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 oh. That will never see the light of day until someone agrees to arise. They are kings that will grope in the darkness until someone agrees to arise. The forces of the Gentiles, the carriages that will come on ships, the supplies will never come, the resources will never come until you arise. It is your light coming that generates seven other comings. I arise, I arise, I arise. So much is tied to your destiny. So much is tied to your life. Many there be that will languish in darkness forever. I arise. I arise. I arise. I arise. I arise.
Enina kosa na ye. Semalia de samom. Elia sila de. Oh, sela mana de babu. Kemina so say like this.
I will arise. I will arise. So that I will shine.
For a little one shall become a thousand. A small one shall become a strong nation. Though thy beginning be small, thy latter end shall greatly increase. For the Lord shall make you plenteous in grace, in power, and in might. For Gentiles will come into your light, and kings into the brightness of your rising. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Light is come. Shine. 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 For grace will be given unto you. For a little one shall become a thousand, a small one a strong nation. Grace will be given unto you. And though thy beginning be small, thy later end shall greatly increase. Shine forth. Shine forth. Shine forth, says the Lord. For the darkness is becoming thick. The darkness is becoming terrible. Shine forth. Shine forth, ye vessels of light. Shine forth. Shine forth. For I will make you strong. I will multiply your strength. Only shine forth. Shine forth. Shine forth. Shine forth. Shine for. So I see in the spirit. I see in the spirit. And I see that someone in the congregation wears a crown. This crown that you wear is a sign from God upon your life that indicates that you are one of those selected to be a carrier of His presence. There is a strange grace that has been given unto you on the account of this great favor. And in the next 21 seconds, the hand of God will come upon you. You'll be brought into a cloud of God's presence. The hand of Jesus will come upon you so strong. Will come upon you so strong, so strong, so strong. Because from tonight, the presence of Jesus will begin to visit with you. In your bedroom, in your working place, the cloud of God's glory will begin to visit with you. This is your time. You were born for this, to carry His presence from place to place. The hand of Jesus will stay strong over your vessel. It is time. Oh.
Oria si copresco fambela e copamatule. Yetosketo bresco fambre isca bonse e samike. Papo sabatacute banteli. Geminai copresco faminete. Shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Sifole mokai teke te kubre. Porika siko manakute eskopre. Famote che sta si copra menata. Avedo coscante cusi a te gabante combra mamma succhetali. Oh, we give you glory. Now listen. Number one, there are about four people that God wants to give a fresh anointing. This is a manifestation of fresh grace. The things that you did not experience before will begin to come around your life. For some of you, it will be easier to hear God. The voice of God will become accessible. There are about four people in this auditorium. About four people in this auditorium that will come. Okay, it's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger now. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. 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 Yes, I could tap me no kubriski. Yes, I took a domanzali. Yes, I took a mosquito break. Kabosi. E kabambo rokoske to minansali kabosha make. There's an oil, there's an anointing. I sense it on my head. I sense it. God is okay, 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 okay. Ooh. Ooh. Listen carefully. I will do this and then I will pray. Oh my God. Oh my God. So those vessels that God is anointing, you will notice many things you are doing now will become easier. It will become easier.
Because God himself is causing you to gain entrance. He's ushering you. So there's someone in this congregation, I've seen you like twice in the spirit. The person that I speak about, there is some symptoms of paralysis that has come upon you. This paralysis that I'm talking about wants to claim half of your body. There are some symptoms of paralysis. And these symptoms are beginning to set in on half of your body. Half. So if there's anybody whose case is like what I'm describing, there are some symptoms of paralysis that are beginning, you are sensing it on half of your body. If that is your case, please come here. There are some symptoms of paralysis that you are beginning to experience, and it's affecting half of your body. There's a side that is under attack as I speak. So if what I just said sounds like you, and those of you in the overflow, I'm also talking to you. Those of you online, I'm also talking to you. But let's start with the people that are in this facility and in the overflow. Those online, if what I'm describing looks like you, There are symptoms of paralysis that have begun to take effect on half of your body. If that is your case and you're online, can you just type your name on the dialogue? Type your name on the dialogue. Because the prayer that we're going to pray here will affect you. Please come closer. I need a microphone. Let's hear from her first. You know that mic is not functional, so don't waste our time. Don't waste our time. Get a mic that works. Okay.
Yeah, it started the beginning of March. I woke up to find.
Now let us assume. Are we assuming that it's just one person that I'm talking about? Okay, we are assuming so. At least in this hall and in the overflow, it's just one individual. Those of you online, the same condition, type your name out, make it available in the chat box. Okay? Mom, you can continue.
Yeah, the right part of my leg. Up to my pelvis here, going to the right leg.
The right leg there.
Yeah. That I can't move well with it.
You began to sense it since when?
Since around 1st of March. In fact, the very day you had the program in Maryland.
Were you there?
Yes, I was
there. You were
there? Yes.
Oh, my God.
I was there. I was just struggling to stand up and get up, and I was prayed upon. I had a prayer.
Do you feel that thing as you're standing like this?
It's when I want to sit down.
When you want to sit down.
When I want to sit down. Before, if it was, I'm standing, it was terrible.
It was even terrible.
Yeah.
All right. So, because we're going to pray, then you test it. We're going to pray, then you test it. You say it began since when? March this year.
Yes.
All right.
So, the night I was coming to
Maryland.
The night I was coming to Maryland, I would have stopped not coming.
But
I decided I must come.
All right. You can transfer the microphone to the next person. Because I'm going to pray at once. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So usually it's my feet, especially when I'm praying, I'll feel like pain for my feet all the way here.
All the way.
And usually here. Like
it will run from down
from this part of
from
my
hair. The hair.
All the way down to my feet. Like I feel like I used to think a lot, and I don't know if that's what affected me.
Trust me, I think more than you. There's nothing wrong with thinking, okay? So, oh, yes, go on.
I feel pain whenever I'm praying too as well, my back.
Your back?
Yes, okay. And I'm not able to like bend.
You can't bend.
To touch my toes.
Let me see how far you can go with touching your toes.
When I'm praying sometimes.
Okay.
Because I feel the pain here.
You feel it, okay.
Yes.
So that means we have three people of interest. We are going to pray. Huh? One more. Okay, so you can speak through that microphone. If you want us to hear you, you might need to switch it on.
Hello. Okay, so starting, let's say, I'm pretty sure December going to like January, I played basketball, so there was a game that I hurt my ankle, and normally after a few weeks of rehab, it was fine. But for some odd reasons, since I hurt my ankle, even going after basketball season, I'm not able to like stand on like this
on,
leg.
On that leg.
No.
Come on, come here. So, you know, I don't know what to say and what not to say based on what I'm seeing now. Oh, well, let's just pray. Now, can you bring that mommy all this way? Just bring her to this side and leave our guest that Jesus is attending to where she is. Can you help me, congregation? Stretch your hand here, and we are asking God to take away every symptom of paralysis. Every symptom of paralysis. Every symptom of paralysis. That you will take it away completely. Can you bind the spirit of paralysis? Can you bind that spirit? Jesus, we do away with pains. We bind every paralyzing spirit. Let the pains in their body, let it leave. Let it leave in the name of Jesus. Let that pain disappear in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we break that yoke. I loose you. I loose you. I loose you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Selido kobrehes kaide. Siba bodia mahapros. Seminapros. Semina kaieto kumbre. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. So, look for all the pains, huh? Now, I'm seeing someone that needs to see me after the service. What I see is your womb. There's something growing in your womb. And what is growing in your womb, you went for a checkup, and the medical equipment was able to locate something growing in your womb. That person is present here. You meet me at the in the office at the end of the service. Just a simple prayer. Go back to those people after this conference, okay? And let them check for what they saw in your womb again. Okay. So she's yeah. Look for it. Look for the pain. Look for it. Yes. Yeah, stand on it. You sports lady. Do. Yes. Yeah, so. No. Don't believe me. Use. You are a sports person. Use the leg. I don't know how you want to. This faith is not breathing from my hand. Your words. So, have you tested it? Okay, so the sports lady has tested. Now, so we'll allow you to cry first. But I want to give you something. I want to put a blessing on you so that in that it's not okay to just do sports. Win. So I want to make you win. That's what I'm talking about. Don't just go there and sprain your ankle and win something. I can see like Korea Mabora Kayeto. Oh my. So this person that I spoke about, they used an equipment to check your womb and they saw something growing there. Now, God has sent me to you. I think he wants to preach today. He wants to send a message to the doctors. So I think that's what's happening. So if you are in this congregation, come. They checked you and they saw that something is growing in your womb. Come. We'll send a message back to the doctors. Lord, don't just make her play. Let her win. Let her team win. Okay. Go and win. Check again, check and be sure. Check. Okay. Missing in your life that God wants to plug in a hurry. It's in a hurry. Allow the Lord deal with her. Allow the Lord. Now listen to me. You are either in this room or in the overflow, and you have not turned your heart to Jesus. You are still a rolling stone. And tonight you want to make a decision and say, Pastor, I
want to make that decision.
Something in your womb? Stand here. You too? It may seem the Lord wants to send a message to the doctors, okay? So, just stand there. So those ones that want to turn their heart to the Lord, right hand on your chest and left hand up so that the preacher can see you. Yes, right hand on your chest and left hand up. Left hand up. Yes. If your left hand is up, please come to the preacher so that I can lead you to Jesus. Don't stay back. Repeat these words after me as I lead you to address Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept that I cannot run my life. Have mercy on me. Wash me in your blood. Write my name in the book of life. Every covenant I entered into, knowingly or unknowingly, I renounce it this moment. Let its power over my soul be broken in the name of Jesus. Give me the strength to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can you address him? Say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Wash me in your blood. Write my name in the book of life. Every covenant that I have entered into, knowingly or unknowingly, let his power over my soul be broken this moment. Give me the grace to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Lord, I present these two young men before you. I ask that you write their names in the book of life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Where is Pastor Wellington? So, that pastor, you will see him because of the crowd and all of that. You'll see him at the end of the service. He'll give you some notices, pray with you, take your address so that we can connect with you, okay? I salute you. So I will touch you here, touch you like this, I will touch you like this. Just a little touch, and then the Holy Spirit will flow through my hands and fall upon you. He will flow through my hands. He will fall upon you. Then he will begin to effect a cure. He'll begin to walk upon you in an intense fashion, an intense manner. I release grace on you. Then his Spirit begins to work on your life, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, begins to flow with intensity. Right to the womb, right to the womb. And then the surgery begins. The surgery begins. Then he begins to take out from your womb that which is not supposed to be there. He begins to take out from your womb. Ah. Oh. Oh. He begins to take it out. He begins to take it out right now. Take it out. Take it out. Lord, take it out. Lord, take it out. Take it out. Take it out. Copy a sick. I am. Yeah. Your word. Receive, receive. Perina osketa printo komena. Aito presko fila kosela antelia. Priska fela konda bida. Ebro fela ise mahita konda. This living sacrifice. Oh, where is that my friend? Come. You. Yes, you became my friend. I was teaching. She will look at me like this and say, what is, what's happening? So, ask God for one thing, anything. Something that is biblically sanctioned, a request that is sanctioned from the Bible. But it must be one. Ask him now, ask him.
His living sacrifice, I am.
Oh my God.
Your worship. I've said this living sacrifice. I am your worship.
Oh my God.
See this living sacrifice. I am your worship.
You know, because this place is so tight, that is the reason why I don't want to do the deliverance. Maybe we'll start the deliverance sessions from tomorrow in the next venue. Hallelujah. But there is a case I cannot ignore that is here. There's somebody sitting in this place, either overflow or in this central hall. Something that I see is dragging you into the grave. Let me put it in a way you can understand. The spirit of death has been sent to haunt you. It has been hovering around your life. Hovering. So, I have been sent to drive it back. It's hovering. It's hovering. It's hovering. It's hovering. Father, that one that is in this congregation, sitting among us, that has been a victim of manipulation in witchcraft, that is a victim of the assassin spirit, and the assassin spirit has been dispatched to find, arrest this individual. And the person is in this congregation, the person is in the overflow. I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you stretch forth your hand over this congregation. Anywhere that person is, stretch forth your hand over this congregation. Help me, from the crown of the head to the soles of the feet. From the crown of the head to the soles of the feet. From the crown of the head to the soles of the feet. Holy Ghost. Bring that lady for me. You don't come to the house of God to die. No, this is, we have only one merchandise here. It's called life. Can you believe? Do you have faith? So your request is granted. Don't believe me. Just wait for 6 months. Huh? Don't believe. Oh, okay. Can you stretch your hand? We want to bring her out of the grave. The one that is pulling her there, we want to pull that one there. I say, Makile Katakunda Bus. Aila Monde Esika Mahando Oro Koskite. Mesokedo Bantola. Ikapresko Pela Niske Brante Kude Manzale. Akaite Koratos Kamantua Ila Apes Ila Selakonda Ila. We demand that you release her this instant in the name of Jesus. Release her. Release her. Eliko Sami Nakudela. Presko sekatia kombami. Lokeraites kuba meenda halakuria. Miraka santo, miraka seminale. So do me a favor, do me a favor. Put this in your hand, put it here. Okay. Speak in the spirit. Just speak. Yeah, she'll be released now. She'll be released. Their grip over her will break in a moment. It will break in a moment. To break, and that which holds you, that which binds you, oh my, hey, kaiite me kurisa halakunde, halakuria sekuntela, me brohoska iko manteli sokoria. Oh, kaiise nela monteli. You were drawn into a battle. You were drawn into a battle. I don't want to go into details. Huh? The people that fight you will not live as long as you believe. That's my parable to you. Where is your mother? That, oi, come. You came to see me in Minnesota. Speak your Greek to her. She. How are you? The Lord shine upon you in the name of Jesus. Oh. The Lord Jesus put his hand upon you. In the name of Jesus. So this is my Greek teacher. So I have my those words like a peck to my. You have to tell us. I've been looking for a Greek person on earth, but I found one. You are free. Go. You will leave. Hey. Okay, so they took something from you. I will make them restore it. See me briefly at the end of this service so that we don't. Can you speak in the spirit for 2 minutes, please? For 2 minutes. Hebroske masile keria. Kovela minatula. Raikes kamotavo. Is like you, oh Lord. Ooh.
shepherd who is like you, O Lord, who is like you.
To me in the office, can you pray for yourself now for 2 minutes? Your light must shine. Your light must shine. Shemoboria mama shikata. Romena Sico, Presco, Falambo, Tomina Leite, Rahose, Ketamina Conda, Babonia. So sister, come, touch her. Come. Did you yield to him? Are you sure? So we give you glory, we give you praise. We exalt your name, we magnify you. For Gentiles will come into our light, and kings into the brightness of our rising. That you will make us enter into the days of the intensity of our rising. So that men from distant shores will navigate their way to where the light is beaming from. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So what I couldn't show you from that scripture was that because your light came, the first thing God gives you is influence. First among Gentiles, then among kings. then your prosperity begins to come. That's the aspect I could not show you. The various layers of prosperity that comes as you remain in your light. So if as a Christian you are looking for prosperity, you are looking for what is not lost. Prosperity is not somewhere. It is in your light. As it begins to manifest, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the things that the Gentiles seek will begin to navigate in your direction. It's not another thing you will do. It is your light you will shed. Are you there? Don't say, I'm looking for prosperity now. You will not find it, because it's not lost. If you find anything else, if you find something, that's not prosperity. It is the distraction that will keep you away from God. True divine prosperity is in your calling. As you are attending to your calling, you are faithful to your calling, then the resources that are needed to help you fulfill that calling will navigate in your direction. It is clearly put in this scripture. So as the light begins to shine, then it begins to, things begin to come. Because something came, others will come. Is that clear? Because the light came, then influence comes. Influence at various levels. Gentiles, kings. Then prosperity at various levels. It mentions it in idiomatic rendering, which we can unravel. But I want you to go study it. You will see that there is nothing that God is offering you that you need to look for. Like someone says, looking for his wife. You're looking for, okay. When you find her, come, let's. No, as you are following the Lord, there are packages, there are things. Do you know those video games? You are playing it. Then it will stumble on gold. As you are going, there are things he puts on the way to encourage you. But when you stand in the flesh and say, I'm looking for my wife, you will have a hard time. As you begin to align, there are several things you don't need to pray for. They were set on the path. So if you are still on the path, you will stumble on them. That's how it is. So he didn't say that you will look for prosperity. He said it will navigate in your direction. It will meet you where you are, in the place of your light. Some people are not steadfast enough for that light to attract all the accessories that are supposed to accompany it. Stay there and allow that light to shine. I stayed in that my village. I stayed there for how many years? Philip, how many years? 2006. 18 years in the wilderness. Who does that? When my colleagues were going to bigger cities and say, hey, it's happening here. I say, I don't know about that place. I'm sure about where I am. My light is here. I don't know what I will meet in Abuja. And many people went to Abuja. They are still on the way. They are still on the way. Because you become wiser than God. They are still in motion. I stayed for 18 years. And from that place, he made my village part of the spiritual map of the world. People that are living in my generation will not have known the name of that place. They know the name of that place because we stood for God in that land. And by next month, all nations leads to my village. So even if you offer me the office of the president, I will not take it. You know why? My light is not there. If you arise there, you will not shine. And God help you if you come out of that arrangement still a believer in Jesus Christ, because we know how it normally turns out. Don't deny your light. For some of you, you had an encounter 12 years ago in the visions of God, and your pursuit of US dollar has made you kept it aside. You did not build the muscle in the spiritual gym to be able to carry that destiny. God's prosperity for your life is tied to what He showed you, not another thing. It's okay, we are smart pastors now, so we are trying to. You are too creative for God, and that's a manifestation of lack of faith. Arise. I remember our prayer group. We had a prayer group in the university every night, 12 p.m. in the night. You read, and then when you hit 12 p.m., you come for prayers. And the Holy Spirit began to love our prayers. He started coming. And there was this lady that was gifted. She had the gift of prophecy. When we go high in the Spirit, she begins to prophesy. Everybody was looking forward to that prayer meeting. And Satan saw that this meeting, if it continues, they will shine. He fought us. The numbers dwindled. People began to fail in their exams. They say it's the prayer that has made them to fail. And they left the prayer and went to attend to their books, and they failed the mob. He had no. We were 40 people in the days of the strength of that prayer. And we became 4. We became 2. Then I was the only one left. And one of those nights, I was praying alone, shouting. Because the place is 12 midnight. It's a very dark place. So part of the antidote for fear is you shout. Hi, Jesus. Shout! Now they will think you are high in spirit. No, you are also battling so many things. And unexpectedly, the Holy Ghost now came. And He began to tell me about my future. I was alone in the dark. In the dark. He kept speaking, and announced the Holy Ghost. I've never been this close to you before. Do me a favor before you leave. I know you want to leave. Can you touch me here? So that is what I will never forget. His touch, not spiritual. I felt it. I will never forget it. So even if you want to tie me to the stake and to burn me alive, I remember he touched me. Do you know that touch kept me for many years? I said, well, you can deny him, you don't know him, but he did what? Yes. And by the time I was leaving that place, it was still dark, but I did not remember the fear again. Something had descended in that place, and those encounters kept us in hardship for 18 years in the wilderness.